The Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 65, beginning at verse 17, and can be found in page 752 of the Pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 65, beginning at verse 17. Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight, and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and will take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who died at 100 will be thought of as a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain, or bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Amen.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, reading from chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, and this can be found on page 971 of the Pew Bible. The passage is entitled, Do Not Worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen, and may God bless this reading to us.
Now let's join together in prayer before we think a wee bit more about God's word. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you that your power is seen throughout the universe. We thank you that your power makes available for us everything that we enjoy in life. And we ask that your Spirit would enable us now to appreciate your goodness to us even more as we think about your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been saying an awful lot about this wonderful world that God has given us to to live in. And I must say, it's great to wake up every morning and to look out the window and to see the flowers and the trees and the birds and the animals, all the colours and all the fragrances. It's just wonderful to see it all and to experience it all. But, you know, sometimes there's things out there that kind of spoil the view that you're looking at. There's things that make you feel, you know, there's a word that you sometimes hear adults use, and they say it's a blot on the landscape. Have you heard anyone saying that? Oh, well, I'll need to be brought a wee bit up to date and things. But, you know, things that spoil the wonderful view that you have of God's creation. Can you think of anything like that? Yes. Pardon? Cars. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. Cars, yes. Bins. Okay, well, we're going in the right direction. Yeah, anything else that spoil the creation that we're part of? Yes. Flowers. Well, maybe some, yes. Rubbish. Now, that's interesting, you saying rubbish, because there was one day when I looked out my window. We've got a lovely tree in the garden in the back. And there it was, the tree as usual. But there was something that had found itself into the tree. Now, it wasn't a bird. It wasn't a plane. It wasn't even Superman. What do you think had found its way into the tree, yes? Rubbish. Well, I'll be more specific with you. It was one of these. And I can't be accused of advertising anything locally. This one came from Portugal. So unless you can read Portuguese, we're not in the business of that. One of these plastic bags had found itself into the tree. And do you know something? It was there for months. It might even have been there for years. Every morning I got up and I looked out and I said, now, somebody might say, why did he not do something about it? Well, I don't have the same powers as Spider-Man or Wonder. It was a way up high in the... That's my excuse anyway. It was a way up high in the tree, and there was no way that I was going to get up to remove this thing from the tree. And every single morning it was there. And you thought to yourself, well, surely, with all the rain we get and the wind that we get and the snow that we get and all that sort of, surely it will go away one day. But it never, ever did. And I thought, you see, not being very clever, I thought that eventually, you know, it would be just like paper. And there would be so much rain in the back that it would just dissolve. That it would just disappear. But then a very clever person told me that these things don't dissolve. That it takes an awful long time for these to break down and become nothing. Can somebody guess how long it takes for one of these to break down and become nothing? Yes. Centuries. Yes. But can you give me a wee bit more information? How long does it take? Yes. 14 years. Higher. A million. Oh, a billion. Somebody told me it takes 1,000 years for one of them to break down. That's probably surviving more than the tree. When you think of it, 1,000 years for something like this to break down. And you see it all over the place, these bags, they're finding themselves into the trees, and they kind of spoil everything. And I'm not the only person that kind of feels this, because there's a man who writes books, and he writes poems. He's called Michael Rosen. And he was on a train one day, and he was passing trees. It was autumn, and the leaves had come off the trees, but they were being replaced by plastic bags. And he wrote a poem about it. And Murdo's going to read it to us now. It's called The Plastic Bag Tree. Isn't that? Well, come on. Let's hear about the plastic bag tree. It was as if the leaves weren't growing in the trees anymore, but it was plastic bags that were growing in the tree.
The plastic bag tree. The bags are ripe on the plastic bag tree, bags as far as the eye can see. Apples and pears, peaches and plums, the fruit is ripe, it's fantastic. Lemon and lime, bunches of grapes, and old bags made of plastic. Shake the branches, gather the crop, it's time to take them down to the shop. Fresh plastic bags on sale today, there's a choice of colour, black or grey. Apples and pears, peaches and plums, the fruit is ripe, it's fantastic. Lemon and lime, bunches of grapes, and old bags made of plastic. There's plenty on the shelf, no need to panic, and next year's bags, who knows, might be organic. The bags are ripe on the plastic bag tree, bags as far as the eye can see. Bags as far as the eye can see, bags of bags as I can see.
There you go, the plastic bag tree. Well done, Mother. And that's really the way, that's what we were calling our tree in the garden, the plastic bag tree. But then, one morning, I woke up. I'm waking up a lot of mornings, as you can understand. But this was a very special morning, because I looked out at the back garden, I looked out at the plastic bag tree, but there was a change. What had changed, do you think, when I looked out at the bag tree? Yes. The bag had disappeared. It had gone after all these thousands of years. It had gone. It had ceased to exist. It was an ex-bag. And I thought, this is great. We've got our lovely tree back. Nothing's spoiling it. I can look out in the morning and really feel glad about this lovely tree. But then I had another thought. Where's it gone? It's not my problem anymore. But it might be somebody else's, because, as we've found out, they take decades, hundreds of years before they completely disintegrate. And it might be somebody else's problem. And they can be a problem, you know, these bags. Because sometimes they get into drains and they clog up the drains and there's a flood. And that happens in some countries overseas, and it can be quite serious. Or sometimes they blow into the sea. And some of the sea creatures mistake them for food, and they eat them, and sometimes they choke, or they get very, very ill, and it's not good for them either. And sometimes, well, it might have blown into somebody else's garden and gone into their tree and not done them any good at all. So, you know, we have to be careful with things like these. They're good fun. And they're very useful. And maybe we don't use as many as we used to use. But we still have to be careful about how we use these things. Because as we've been learning in the service today, this is God's earth that he's given us to take care of. You know, there's a story in the Bible about the beginning of the earth. When God created the earth, and there were people in the earth called Adam and Eve. And he gave Adam specific instructions about the earth that he had been given. He was told to work it, but he was also told to care for it. He was told to care for the earth. And we have to care for what God has given us to enjoy. And that will sometimes mean being sensible about the way we dispose of things, and to make sure that it doesn't harm any part of God's creation. You know, when you read the Gospels, it's obvious that Jesus loved being on the earth And it's obvious that he enjoyed the earth, because we hear about him walking beside the sea. We hear about him being in a boat on the sea. He went into the mountains and he enjoyed the mountains. And he told stories. And we heard Keith reading some of them to us this morning. He told stories about the birds of the air. He told stories about the flowers of the field and about seeds growing in the soil. Jesus was very, very close to all of that. But he also knew that sometimes there were blots in the landscape. He also knew that there were things that spoiled God's creation, because he was involved in storms at sea. And he knew about earthquakes. And he knew also about famine, the bad things that can happen in God's creation. But he also knew that God had a plan, and that one day everything that was bad about the earth, everything that ever caused people pain, would all be taken away, and God would make a new heaven and a new earth. And that's what the prophet Isaiah was talking about in the reading that Mrs. McEwen shared with us. About 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah had this great vision of an earth that would be renewed someday in the future. And that's what Jesus believed. And that's what Jesus was going to do. Because in the end, we're told that he's going to rule the whole earth, and there'll be nothing bad that will ever happen to anyone. Now, you might think to yourself, that's great, we'll just wait for that to happen. Well, no, actually, if we're followers of Jesus, then we have to live our lives now as if we were in that new creation, to let people see what the world will be like when Jesus once again rules the universe. It'll be a place where we care for one another, and it'll be a place where we care for the whole of God's creation, cherishing everything that's good for us. Now, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to live now as if we were in this new world where love will triumph and where God's earth will be perfect. So, let's join together in prayer now as we think about these things. Let's pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for your gifts to us. But we pray that we would show our gratitude in the way that we live, in the way that we care for one another, and in the way that we care for your creation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.